So today I'm doing one of my un-sermons. An un-sermon is a un-sermon. It's kind of a made-up word, which means that every once in a while we have these kind of Sundays where I'm not in a series, we're not in a special month like missions or whatever, and there's just this one Sunday to kind of do whatever I want. And instead of walking through some scripture or explaining like I typically do, every once in a while I do an unsermon where I kind of talk about something in the church, like an area that we need to work on or some philosophy or something. And so that's what I want to do with you guys today. So what I'd like you to do is close your eyes. Close your eyes. So what I'd like you to do is, in your mind, I would like you to imagine. Imagine what it would be like to belong to a place where people accept you for who you are, how you are. I want you to imagine what it would be like to belong to a place where people genuinely cared for you, no matter the good, no matter the bad. I want you to imagine a place where you excitedly go each week because there you see your closest friends. Imagine what it would be like to have a group of people you know you could call at 2 a.m. for help and they wouldn't even mind. Imagine a place, and imagine what it would be like in that place to be a part of a group that you knew would celebrate the great moments of life with you and mourn alongside of you during the hard times, that they would genuinely ask, "What do you need?" And they mean it. Imagine what it would be like to be a part of something where your efforts make a difference to those you are working with. They look forward to you being there. They rely upon you. What would it be like to find a place like that? And how would you find such a place? And are we at this church such a place? You can open your eyes. So where I'm going today and what I'm going to be talking about is the church. And I want to try to get as specific as I can with how can we as a church do a better job at fitting in with each other, connecting, knowing, loving. How can we fit better together? And so where I'd like to begin is by asking this question right here. Let's say that you are telling a friend about your church, and you're telling them what you like, what you don't like, and all of those kinds of things. And so they ask you this question: what do you like best about your church? What do you like best about your church? What would you say? What do you like best about your church? What would you say? Now, I have a microphone in my hand, and I'm going to be walking around looking for some voluntolds to answer my question: what do you like best about your church? So,
sound doctrine.
Sound doctrine. What do you like best about your church? What would you say? People on this, on either side, and I'm not ashamed to call on people. Everybody's slinking down in their seats. I see how it goes. What do you like best about your church?
Bible-oriented.
The Bible. Bible. All right. What do you like best about your church? Tony volunteered. Did you see his hand?
The preacher.
The preacher. Here's $10 right here. Gotcha. All right. Coming up this aisle here, what do you like best about your church?
The people.
The people. What do you like best?
We have felt loved since day one.
Yeah, this is really interesting. This is kind of a newer family. If you haven't had the chance to meet them, they're wonderful, wonderful people. They're the other Fullertons. That's what I call them, the other Fullertons. wonderful, wonderful people. Yeah, the people. What do you like best about your church? Looking for hands here.
Koinonia, the fellowship.
Koinonia, the fellowship together. Zelda.
I love the worship music. I love the sermons, and I love our Sunday school class.
Yeah, That's good. Moving over here, what do you like best about your church? What would you say?
Our missions focus.
Missions.
Celebrate recovery.
Celebrate recovery. Yeah, what do you like best about your church? Any other volunteers along here still looking?
Great leadership.
Leadership. Yeah, I'm so proud of the elders and how they handled all of the time with Nathan. What do you like best about your church? Over here. Matt, I'm coming your way. I hope you have an answer. These are our friends, the Buttermores, that have been gone for a while, back visiting with us, and he just told me a little while ago, I so miss this place. What's the best thing about this church, would you say?
Ooh. We're small groups.
Small groups. Yeah, that was big for you guys. Yeah. Oh, got another one back here. I got a younger one. What's the best thing about your church?
Coffee.
We all love Steve Cermak, wherever he is, the coffee man. Yeah. So there are a lot of things that we could say about why we love our church. But one of the common threads when I've asked people this very question is something related to family, connections, friends, the people, somebody said. That's what we like best about our family. But oftentimes I think that there are some that really seem to fit, and there are those that feel like they don't fit. And what I want to try to talk about is how do we help those that feel like they don't fit, or those that feel like most of the time I don't fit, feel like this is a better, a place where they can easily connect and fit just a little bit better. Now, if you remember what it's like to not fit in. Not fitting in is like wearing clothes that don't fit. You walk around, it just doesn't feel right. Like, have you ever been in a mall and you're walking along and there's a group of teenagers and they look at you and they start laughing? So you check your teeth, you check your zipper, you check to see if you have toilet paper on your shoe because you know something's just not right. Have you ever thought that there are people that come to church and they feel that same way every week? Week after week, that's how they feel. And they keep coming for lots of other reasons. I have visited more churches than probably any of you. And I have sat in churches, again, where I don't know anybody. And I've sat there and felt like everybody's looking at me. And I've sat there where I feel like nobody's looking at me. I've come into churches, sat down, did the whole thing, left. Nobody said a word to me. And you guys have probably been in those churches too. Those exist, but I don't want us to be one of those kinds of churches. And I think one of the reasons why this continues to kind of be a struggle at some level for us is because, and if I can just say it this way, for a lot of you, you've been here so long, you've forgotten what it's like to be new. Because you know everybody. You've been here for 20 years or 30 years. You don't remember what it was like the very first time you walked in. You didn't know where the bathroom was. You didn't know where the nursery was. You were still trying to figure out, like, sometimes we find people wandering around on the other side of the building, and they're like, where's the service? It's so easy to forget what it's like to be new. So how can we help people fit better and fit here at our church a little bit better? Maybe I could ask it this way. If you left this church, would anybody notice or care? Remember back in high school when you were trying to fit in and you tried to wear the right clothes, and maybe some of you ladies had that really cool big like 80s hairdo or 60s hairdo. Remember those days? Or you tried to do some crazy things so you could fit into the kind of the cool group. Do you think you ever really grow out of some of that? Because why were you doing that? Because you wanted that sense, that feeling that I fit in. I have a place. They know my name. And part of that whole fitting in high school was peer pressure and responding to it. And I mean, I'd love to say that we grow out of it, but I don't think we necessarily do. Do you ever feel like you have to dress a certain way, act a certain way, talk a certain way if you want to fit in here? And I would guess that if you're these people that feel like you're struggling to fit in our church, I would guess that it's probably because you feel like you don't have any friends here. You know people's names, you recognize some faces, but you don't have friends here. For right or for wrong, for good or for bad, friendships are like the glue that keeps people stuck to a church. And when those friendships don't exist, or they're just surfacey, that's all they are, people don't stick. Why? Because there's a glue in the friendship, in the I know you, you know me, you love me, I love you, and you know it. There's something that happens when you walk into church and people light up when they see you. They're happy to see you. They come running over and they give you a hug, not because it was their day to be a greeter, but because they love you. They missed you. They prayed for you that week. They knew that you had something that you went through that week and you couldn't wait to get there and give a hug and say, it's going to be okay. Those kinds of places are great places. There's a chemistry that churches that do this well, there's a relational chemistry that they build. And I think that we have some work to do in that area. And I think that because I have people that have been at this church for a long time that have said to me directly, I have no friends at church. And if you ask them, do you know people at church? Oh, yeah. Do you know names? Well, yeah. So how don't you have friends? And they would say things like, I don't know anybody. Like if I left the church, nobody would even care. How is it that there could be people that have gone to this church for years and yet would say they have no friends here? How can that be? Maybe one way of looking at this would be through a different lens. I read an article put out by the LA Times this week on why kids join gangs. Brand new study. Why kids join gangs. They gave top three reasons. One reason was identity. It gets me in like a status. It gives me some kind of status if I'm in this gang. The second one was protection. I live in a place that's unsafe and I need somebody that watches my back. But far and away, and this is a secular article, far and away, they said, number one reason why kids join gangs, and this is their language, this isn't church language, this isn't like out of the Bible language, secular article, number one reason, fellowship and brotherhood. Again, their language, not church language. Fellowship and brotherhood, the number one reason why kids join gangs. And then they have these quotes from kids that talk about, I don't have a family at home, they are my family. When I'm with them, they accept me. They don't judge me. I have a place to belong. It's a lot of this kind of language. How interesting is it that the gangs, in a lot of ways, reflect the same kinds of yearnings we all have for a place to belong, a place where there's brotherhood, a place where people love me and they know and I walk in and I don't have to put on airs. I don't have to, if I smell bad, it doesn't matter. I can just be me. And they still love me. There's a basic desire, I think, for all of us to have that. Someone once described relationships like a Lego. Remember Legos back in the olden days? You know, this is kind of a giant one out of the nursery. So it kind of smells funny. But so on a Lego, you have these pegs, right? And these pegs are what connects. And when I heard this guy talking about our relationship circle is like a Lego, he says, all of us have a finite number of real relationships that we can have. And all of us have a different size Lego. Some of us, God built us to have one or two or three pegs. Some have five, six, or seven. When the pegs and the Lego is all full, we're not looking to fill any of the pegs. It's full. Our life is full. But when some of these are empty, our radar goes on and we try to fill with other friendships, other relationships. We try to find somebody to fill our Lego. Now, here's what I'm finding. I'm finding that in so many churches, and to some degree in our own church, there are a lot of people who feel like their Lego is not full and they don't know what to do about it. If I asked you and you're sitting in my office, it's just the two of you, and I took out the Lego and I said, so how's your relationship, friendship world? Would you say it's full? Or would you be the one that would say, I would give anything to have just one person that really cared about me? Or one person that would say, you know, if you need me, I'm there. Funny enough, in a church that is supposed to be built on community, bearing one another's burdens and all the other one another's, so many people come week to week and they never fill their Lego. How can that be? How can that be? How can it be that there would be people in our own church that would say, I am very lonely? Well, part of the reality is that as you become an adult, it's much harder to make friends. Remember when you were kids, you know, you go to the playground, you need about 13 seconds to have best friends all around you, you know. Remember when you took your kids to the playground, you let them go run around, and pretty soon your daughter's running around holding hands with some other girl, maybe your son too, I don't know, but they don't need any time at all. It's just so fast, and they make friends, but you become an adult, and all of a sudden it's like, how do I do this? Besides my spouse and my immediate family, would you want to come here if you didn't know anybody? Nobody knew you. We have people that come every week that would say, that's me. And I don't want us to be that way. There was a book written a couple years ago talking about how adults make friends. And one of the chapters deals with relearning how to have conversation. Because what happens in our society is we get in this rut of everything is surface level. And it happens all the time in the hallways, and it's not necessarily bad, you know. Like one of you, who was it? One of you guys walked past me. I can't remember who it was. I can't remember. Anyway, you walk past, and you're like, hey, Scott. I'm like, hey, how are you? Good. How are you? Fine. Good. That was it. Right? Was there any significant conversation? No. But if you said, hey, Scott, how are you? We don't do that because it's kind of uncomfortable, right? What would you do if somebody like broke down in front of you? It'd be very strange. So we keep everything surfacey. And part of the argument of the book was that we've lost the ability, we've lost the knowledge, we've lost the tool of having good adult conversations. So in the chapter, they suggested kind of an acronym, FORM. And where to start with a conversation at the adult level. F for family, O occupation, R recreation. And in the book, M is message. In the church, maybe we could say ministry. But this is kind of a way of talking to people. And in some ways, it could be if they're new. But I guarantee a lot of you guys have known each other for a long time, and you probably couldn't answer some of these questions because you've never had a real conversation. You've talked about the weather. You've talked about the Huskers. You talked about farming. You talked about all of those kinds of things. But a significant conversation like this, maybe you've never had. FORM. So, I got a microphone. Let's see here. Mark and Lannis, come here. Come on up here. So, let's pretend that I don't know these people. Come on right on up here. Don't be shy. Okay? So let's have a little conversation a little bit with you guys, okay? You just have to answer the questions, nothing else, okay? So we're meeting here for the first time, and I say, hey, my name's Scott.
Hi, Scott.
And what's your name?
Mark.
Mark. And who's your daughter? Just kidding. That's cute. Yeah, sorry. I'm off to a good start already, right? So glad you brought your daughter to church with you today, right? Jane's over here going, that's not funny at all. Okay, so, yeah, you're recording. That's really funny. All right, so is this your wife?
This is my wife.
This is your wife. Hi, I'm Scott Lannis. Really good to meet you guys. Really glad that you're here. Do you have any annoying children that you'd like to introduce me to? Say no. None that we want to introduce you to at all. Right.
No, none that you want to hear of.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay. So do you have some children? Yes. Yeah. What are your kids' names?
Jaden. And Elsa.
Jaden and Elsa. Jaden. How old's Jaden?
How old is the actor?
That's a leading question. Yes.
Jaden is 18.
Jaden's 18. Awesome. So maybe college? Is he in college?
He is. He's
okay.
A freshman in college.
Oh, where does he go?
Hastings.
Oh, cool. Is he studying it? What's he studying there?
Business administration.
Well, that's really cool. So you see what I'm doing? I'm just asking them questions about their family, right? So that's the F up there. So we could go to O. So Mark, what do you do?
I work for a farmer and sell Pioneer seed.
Cool. So do you live out on a farm somewhere?
We live on an acreage south of Deweese, but we don't farm.
Deweese, is that a city?
Sort of.
Well, sort of.
50 people, if you call that a city.
50 people. It's like a gathering. Okay, so Deweese, you live out there. Okay, so what's the name of the company?
It's Pulmar Ag Chem.
Okay, cool. And Lannis, do you work as well?
Yes, I'm a cosmetologist.
Cosmetologist, yeah. I have no idea what those things are. I haven't seen one in years. You'll cut my hair? You must be really good at it if you could cut my hair. Let's be honest. So all I'm doing is the O, right? Just talking about O, right? So recreation can be anything from like a hobby or what do you like to do or where did you grow up? So where did you grow up, Mark?
I grew up in southwest Nebraska on a farm.
Southwest? Okay. What kind of farm? Like a dairy farm or?
Dryland crops. And we had cow-calf operation.
Okay. So maybe that's why you went into farming now, still selling that stuff. And so all I'm doing is I'm asking questions. Do you notice what I'm not doing? Somebody said it over there. I'm not talking about me, right? Because sometimes we feel like I have a brand new audience to talk about my favorite subject, me, right? But at the adult conversation level, it's not about talking, you know, I'm not talking about me. I'm trying to dig below, I now recognize your face, to some substance underneath. And even like the ministry or you know, the message part, you know, what do you guys like to do? We've been involved in ministry. I know you guys did youth ministry. La, la, la. So we could just run down that road really, really easily, and we can have this kind of significant conversation. We've lost the tools to do that a little bit in our social media society. We have to relearn it if we're really going to be good at this as a church. Thank you for letting me abuse you guys. I appreciate you guys. Have a seat. So let's go this way. Trish, really good to see you. You sat on the end of the row. All right. So, stand on up. So let's say that I don't know Trish.
5 minutes from skipping church.
Let's talk about that a little bit, shall we? All right. So let me just begin a conversation with Trish about who she is. Well, really good to meet you. My name's Scott.
Hi, Scott.
And what is your name?
Trisha.
Trish. Hey, really good to have you. Are you from Hastings here?
I've lived here for a while, not originally.
I should be giving you this, sorry.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes. So not originally, but you've lived here for a long time.
Yes.
All right. Well, good. Where do you work?
I work for Chief Ethanol Fuels.
Ah, do you work at the one out on Highway 6?
I do.
All right.
Not in Grand Island.
Okay. How long have you been there?
15
years. At 20, do you get a Rolex?
No, I get a gift card.
You get a gift card. That's better than a Rolex anyway.
My last one.
Yes. Well, good. Do you have children?
I do. I have 2 boys.
Okay. Do you have any children that are not your children that might as well be your children?
A few
that you're here with. So all I'm doing is I'm asking questions, right? None of this is intimidating. But you have to learn to... Well, we could go to the next level here, Trish. No problem at all. I'd sure hate to embarrass you. right? But don't you have to deliberately in your mind think, I need to ask her questions beyond just the, hey, nice glasses, right? I have to purposely do that. And if you don't do it purposely, you don't do it at all. And you have to ask those questions. Not talk about yourself, but ask questions, probe a little. Sometimes it can be, you know, you don't want to get into weird, strange areas, but you have to ask the questions. And you have to decide and purposely do it. Otherwise, you only stay at the superficial level, which is what we don't want. Thanks for letting me abuse it.
What's your New Year's
resolution? Well, that's a really good question. My New Year's resolution
is to quit asking Trisha
questions. No, that's good. All right, again, notice, I'm not talking about my favorite subject, right? I'm asking questions about him or her, and I'm trying to probe. And the whole point is, I'm trying to make them feel welcome. I'm trying to show that I'm interested in them. And in some ways, it doesn't matter if my Lego is open and I need to fill my last spot, or if I'm just trying to say, you matter and I care. You have to probe and ask questions below the surface level, or you never get there. And I think in a lot of ways, when Paul talks about greeting one another with a holy kiss, okay, we don't do that very much in our culture, probably not enough. He says it four times. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Because in the Roman culture, that kiss was a show of acceptance. So in our culture, we don't kiss. Maybe we shake hands or whatever. But the idea is still true. How do we communicate you matter? How do we communicate I'm glad you're here? How do we communicate I'm interested in more than just seeing you face to face? I'm interested in about what's going on in your life. How do we communicate those things? And it's hard work. So here's just a kind of a basic little principle for us in a church. You cannot make people feel welcome unless you think like a guest and you act like a host. Think like a guest. What was it like to be new? What would be weird? What would be strange? And then when you are a host at your house, don't you treat people differently when they come to your home? You meet them at the door. Hey, how you doing? Hey, have a seat. You need something to drink? What can I get you? And then you sit around the table. Then you start having significant conversation. What if that just became the chemistry of our church? That just culturally here, we indulged each other in digging below the surface all the time. You got to think like a guest and act like a host. So in a sense, we are all on the greeting committee every Sunday, every time. It's all what we do. So what I want to try to do here, I'm going to ask two more questions. I just want you to kind of blurt out the answers here a little bit. And I'm going to start over here with this section. Let's say that we really want to work at making people feel welcome here. And we understand that a great way to feel welcome is by not just being friendly, but by being a good friend. What are some ways that we could do a better job or a good job, or maybe you've been to a church that was really good at making people feel welcome? What would you guys say? What are some things that we can do to make people feel welcome when they come? Just blurt out the answers. Take them out for lunch. To McDonald's. It's my favorite restaurant. What else? What do we got to do to make people feel welcome? Be the friend first. What else? Guys are quiet. Come on. Don't run out the door. That is so good. Not that I'd want to point this out, but if you come a few minutes late, or sometimes more than a few minutes late, but if you come a few minutes late and you leave right away, you've not connected with anybody, and nobody's connected with you. That's really good. Center section. What are some ways that we can make people feel welcome? Go to them. That's really good. Instead of waiting for them to come to you, you go to them. Somebody else said names. Remember their names. And let's admit something that's really hard. We have about 700 people in our church that say this is their church home. Man, it's hard to keep track of everybody's names. Yeah, that's a good one, Chuck. Appreciate that. What else can we do? Be consistent. Yeah, that's another good one. Yeah. How about over here? What can we do to make people feel welcome?
Do something for them, like a snowball
yeah, offer something. You know, last week we had either just over 200 people or just under 200 people. We had some people that literally couldn't get out of the driveways. It'd be a great thing to call somebody up and say, hey, you need some help? Can I pick you up? Can I shovel your driveway? Take you out for lunch afterwards? That'd be great. I heard somebody else say something.
If they don't show up at church, ask them if they noticed that they were gone.
Missed you. I noticed you weren't here. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody else. That one is so, so important. He said, offer to sit by them. If somebody comes into church and you are the only person they've ever met, you're the only one they know, where are they going to go sit? With other people they don't know, right? But if you said, hey, come sit with me. Or if you take them into an ABF, maybe they come during the kind of the Sunday school hour and they want to go to an ABF, take them to the ABF and stay in that ABF with them, right? Or, hey, do you need some coffee? Can I go get you some coffee? Or, hey, I see you have a year-old child. Do you want me to show you where the nursery is? And then take them. Don't go, yeah, it's two rows down. Take it right over there where that funny-looking guy's standing. You take them to the nursery. You help them get their kids checked in. This is all kind of next-level stuff. I think that is so, so important. So if we change the question to, oh, my word, I'm not even half done. So if we change the question to this, what are some things that we could do to chase people away?
Don't look them in the eye.
What else? Don't sit in your seat, not talk to them, or go up and say, excuse me, that's my seat. Because, you know, we all have assigned seats here, right? Right? Like, if the Hanson sat over here, I wouldn't recognize him. What are you doing over here? You know? That's really good. What else can we do to make people feel like this is not a welcoming place? Sit right next to them, don't talk to them. I heard somebody over here. Ignore them. Middle section people, what you got? How can we make people feel unwelcome? I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. You talk about yourself? I didn't hear what you said. Nobody? Come on. Don't be shy. Because we've all been new. We've been to churches and they've done these things to us. What do we do to make people feel unwelcome?
Ask them how they are. Listen to their answer. Don't be in a hurry to walk off because you just might not know what they're going to say.
That's it. So, hey, how was your week? It was terrible. Oh, glad to hear it. All right. So, sorry about your luck. I'm out of here. I didn't really care to ask, you know. I was just asking to be polite, right? That's good. What else can we do? No, one more idea.
Don't say a word to them at all. Nothing. Don't even look at
them. Yeah, you sit in your own little circle, right? And we all have our circle, and we love our circle of friends. We want to build circle of friends, but if you only ever stay in your circle of friends, what do you do with the people that aren't in a circle? You don't engage, right? You don't talk. So there's all kinds of things that, you know, probably all of us have been on the receiving end of a few of these. And we know what it feels like to just be on the outside and not know where things are, not know the routine. All of our, you know, all churches have routines. They all have, you know, even if they say they don't have a liturgy, we all kind of have our liturgy of stand up, sit down, all of that kind of stuff. When you're new, you don't know any of that. And if we can remember what it's like to be new, it would go a long ways into helping us be more welcoming, more embracing for those that come. Now, I'm literally not even halfway done, and I got like a couple minutes. So let me show you just real quick. Here's some great ways to make people feel unwelcome. Have a short memory. In other words, forget what it's like to be new. And a lot of you guys, you've been wonderful, committed people to this church for a long time, but you have forgotten what it's like to be new and not know anything, not know where to go, not know what to say, not know anything. So have a short memory. Number two, act like the innkeeper. That's my nod to Christmas. I got cool Christmas socks on too today. So act like the innkeeper. I got no room for you. It's a little bit like what Lana said. I'm going to ask you a question, but I don't really care. Don't really answer the question. You know, so you have no room. Talk about yourself. Number three, believe you're the center of the universe. Hey, it's great. Let me tell you all about myself. They don't really care, just by the way. They don't care. Number four, ask too many or inappropriate questions. This is a really funny one because lots of well-meaning people live in this number four world. You know, you got to ask the right questions, but not too many. In Paraguay, when we lived there, they would ask all kinds of crazy questions. It was very normal for a woman to walk up to another woman and say, "Hey, how much do you weigh?" Happened all the time, you know? You may not want to start with that question right out of the chute. "Hey, are you a visitor? How much do you weigh?" You know? Guys would ask me all the time, "Hey, how much do you make? How much do you make a year?" Well, you may not want to start with those kinds of questions because they are just a little bit. And what would happen to the church? It would be like next level. I remember this one time we had a new person at church, and this well-meaning guy walked over and introduced himself and said, "So are you a pagan?" Great way to start. Yeah. For some reason, he never came back. I don't know why. It's all true. Those are all great things. A couple years ago in Minnesota where we lived, the school had a prom. You know how prom always has a theme, you know, usually they're kind of dorky. That year, the prom theme was this: "It's all about us." Wouldn't there be a lot of churches that could have that same theme? It's all about us. And I don't want that for us. Oh, I got so much I want to say here. So let me see. I need to say a few things. Being a part of a church community means that you have people that care about you. They love you. But they will never really love you until they know you. Here's why I tell you this. I have people that come, and Matt and those that work in the office know this happens. They have a surgery, they go through a hard time, they have a loved one died, and no one from the church calls. And so then they come and they bust our chops because nobody cared. Now, you know how there's always things you want to say, but you just think, maybe today's not the right time to say things like that? I've sat with those people and I've asked questions like this. Are you connected anywhere at the church? No. Are you in any small group? No. Do you go to an ABF? No. Do you serve anywhere? No. Do your kids come to anything? No. Then how would we have known you were going through this? You see, part of the communication stream for what happens within the church is that as you let people know within the church these things that you're going through, the people that love you, there's a network that grows from that. But if you're not connected anywhere, nobody knows. So let me say it this way, just a little more sternly. If you're not connected anywhere here at the church, you need to lower your expectations for how the church is going to respond to your time of need. It's not because we don't love you. It's because we just don't know. We don't know you. And if we don't know you and we don't know those things are happening, then we can't respond. That's just the reality of it. So let me just address one way that you guys, and I don't really have time for one, but just one way that I personally have found to be a great way of finding friends, of fitting in, of connecting, of relating, of being a part of a church where you're not just somebody in the outside, in the periphery, but you're really a part of the meat of the church. And that is through serving the church, serving at the church together. And there's all kinds of great kingdom reasons and that we could talk about. But what I have found for me is that my best friends in the church have always been those people that I serve with. And I don't think that's by accident. I think those two go together. You start throwing yourself in the trenches, and you start going through some tough times, and you got that person you're working with that falls off the trailer, and you have to work together. There is something bonding in there. And if you got those kids in Awana or whatever, and they're driving you nuts again, and you got to work on a solution, there's something bonding in that. You have an issue, something that you're working on, and you're sitting on around a table, and you're on a committee, and you're trying to figure it out, and it's bothering. There's something bonding that happens when you serve with other people. It's kind of like spending quality time together. So people, I think people who serve together stay together, and it's in part because they always have so much to talk about. They have this like shared interest, this shared ministry. And every time they get together, they can't be any more excited to talk about that shared ministry. So here's the ministries of the church. I'm not going to go through them. I don't have time. Lots of great ministries. And there's other ones that we could talk about. They're not even all up there. These are great ways to find some group of people to connect with. We probably have somewhere around 150 of our people in the church that are serving on one of our teams or committees of the church. And I would bet if you asked them, they would say, some of my best friends of the church are those that I serve with. That goes together. And yeah, the Bible says all of this stuff about serving, but there is something about the glue and the relationships and the friendships that happen when you serve together, and there's something that taps into your passions together around ministry, and it bonds you together. But I would also say that if you don't have that, and you're not serving anywhere, and you're not connecting anywhere, you could come to church week after week after week and just feel like you're on the outside. And I just want to say this to you, and it's a little stern, but let me just say it. When people tell me they don't have any friends here, they always blame me. And I want you to know that if you feel like you don't have any friends here, it's probably your fault more than it's anybody else's fault. Anybody who wants to get involved, anybody who wants to connect, anybody who wants to serve can find a place to do it here. And that's not even talking about like Wellspring and his supply house and all those other ways that we can serve in our community. That's just here at our church. Now I'm totally out of time. We were going to sing the Cheers song. Remember the song from Cheers, Making Your Way in the World Today? That was good. It's a great song. We're going to sing that all together. We'll call it For Worship. Do you remember in that old movie, what would everybody say, or sitcom, what would everybody say when Norm walked in? Norm. What do we say when Norm Hungerford walks in? Norm. So I say the same thing. I think it's funny. He's probably heard it a few times. What would it be like to walk in every Sunday and know people are going to call you by name? They're going to be excited to see you. They're going to embrace you. Maybe you're closer than family to them. What would that kind of place be like? I want that place to be here. And if I could just say that, maybe 2020, the beginning of this year, is a time for some that have been very content to be pew ploppers. That's my term for people that just come in, they plop in the pew. Pew ploppers. It's time for some to get out of the pew. Stop complaining that they don't know anybody here and engage with us. And I bet if you do that over this year, 2021, if I were to talk to you, you would say this is the greatest year ever for me as a church member here because of the friendships that I've developed. If you want to get out of the periphery and into the fight, you can do it. But only you can do it. And I hope that you do this year.